This is ABC News Daily. I'm Sam Hawley. Millions of Australians will head to the ballot box tomorrow, where they'll either deliver Scott Morrison a second miracle victory, or this time prove the opinion polling right and vote in Anthony Albanese. The ABC's election analyst, Anthony Green, is usually the first person to call the election result on the night. Today, he discusses what to expect once the counting begins. Anthony Green, when the ballots close on Saturday evening at 6 p.m, you really sort of swing into action. What do you immediately start to do at that point?
Hit refresh on my screen a lot. It's like people always ask me, oh, is there any particular seat you watch? Is there any particular booth you watch? And my answer is always, it's the first one. Mm-hmm. Because once the first one arrives, I know the computer system's working, that we're receiving data. So that's, to me, I mean, there's nothing worse than being on air with nothing to talk about.
Some first figures, so let's go straight to Anthony Green.
Yes, well, let's just do the first figures. These are just to show you that these are there. Now, there's only 21 votes here. It's a
huge preparation task just to set up everything so that the right graph draws in the right direction with the right colour, that the correct sitting member's picture appears. Mm. I've been writing code this morning to make sure that all the information we stored by polling place adds up to the electorate totals, for instance. Because if you've got something wrong and you've got all votes against the wrong candidate, you'll get rubbish swings on the night. So
Right. That's
the sort of thing we have to check.
Yeah, so you've got a computer system. It sounds a little bit complex for me and others, I'm sure. But basically, you put a whole lot of information into that so that you get a really accurate view on the night about which seats are swinging and which way they're swinging.
What's going on election night? You've got to remember every electorate has between like 30 and 100 polling places.
Mm.
And each of those has got a different result. There are, you talk about an outback electorate, there might be a strong mining town which votes Labor, and then you might be a small rural community which votes National. And when those results come in, you get progressive figures. You've got a lot of variability in the polling place results, and you need to correct for that. So the two things you've got to correct for is what's called bias, which is that the figure you've got now is not a good estimate of the final figure, and that's caused by the fact that small polling places report before larger polling places, and the smaller polling places tend to be small rural districts, tend to be non-Labor. So the early figures tend to have an anti-Labor bias, and you have to correct for that, and you do that by looking at the swing, the change in vote in that polling place from the last election, and you use the swing as a predictor, not the percentage vote. But you still have variability, is the swing from polling place to polling place still may vary, and you just have to let the variability settle down. So all that's the mathematics going on in the background to do that, and the aim of it is to sieve out that noise in the early figures so very early on you can predict the winner.
Okay, so take me, let's pretend we're heading into 6 p.m. on Saturday. You've told us before when we've spoken that, the Western Australia, Queensland will be crucial. What will you be looking at on the night?
Well, Western Australia will come much later. So Queensland, what you're looking at in Queensland is that, and this was what was so difficult last time, is the shift in sentiment was very much on first preferences. The coalition vote didn't go up. The Labor vote declined. Green vote went up and third party vote went up, and there were completely different preference flows. And that was different in the southeast versus the rest of the state. It was a very complex picture coming out of Queensland.
The Labor first preference vote is down 10, but it's spread all over the place to other parties, and it's translating into a two-party preferred swing to the LNP, which just shows you what's going that things are going wrong for the Labor Party in Queensland.
At this election, I'll be watching, well, am I seeing a swing in southeast Queensland which is different from regional Queensland? What's happening with this third-party vote? Is there a big rise in UAP and One Nation vote? Is it strong enough to get into second place in any electorates? And also, when we start to get preference counts from the commission, are we seeing different preference flows? And so that's the hard part. And
The complexity is we get first preferences from polling places and later we get a preference count. And in between times, we use our estimates. The other thing to look for in Queensland is the Greens doing very well in Inner Brisbane. And there's three seats, Ryan, Brisbane and Griffith, where it's the LNP versus two left parties. And who wins will depend on what's the overall anti-LNP vote, or the LNP versus anti-LNP, and within the anti-LNP vote, which are the Greens or Labor in second place. So they're three seats where it may take a while to settle down what's going on in those seats.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jack Dempsey, and I'm standing as your independent candidate for Hinkler.
And also watch out for the seat of Hinkler in central Queensland, where there's a very strong independent running in Jack Dempsey. So he's not a teal independent, he's running on local issues. But he's the mayor of Bundaberg and will be interesting to watch in the seat of Hinkler.
As your independent voice, I'll be a local champion to tackle the housing crisis, upgrade the hospitals and medical services, create jobs and training opportunities for our young people.
What will it mean for the government in Queensland? I mean, will you get a sense if the government's in trouble there early on?
Well, because the time zones are all the same this year, we'll be watching Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland at the same time.
Mm.
And the biggest difference in swing at elections is between states.
Uh-huh.
Is there going to be a swing to the Labor in Victoria, and does it deliver any seats? Because it doesn't always do that in Victoria. What's going in New South Wales? And New South Wales has a tendency to have swings in different parts of the state. And in Queensland, Queensland's a different picture. So you've got to watch all these. And then you've got to keep your eye on Bass and Braddon as well. Basically, we'll have 124 of the 151 seats close at the same time.
Mm, okay. So that's going to be a bit frantic for you.
And if it's close, we hang around for 8 o'clock when WA comes in.
Mm.
And that will be interesting because Labor has just dominated the state scene over there. This may be the first election in 30 years where Labor is able to better present itself as able to represent Western Australian interests in Canberra.
It's great to be back in the West once again for this announcement. If we want to change the government, we need to change the representation here in the West. And Tanya Lawrence.
Mm, remind me, Anthony, how many seats does Labor need to win and what sort of swing does it need to form government?
Labor has 69 seats following the redistribution. It needs a swing of about 3.5%.
Anything particularly different, Anthony, about this election for you than ones in the past?
We hopefully will not be up as late as in 2016 and 2019. There is a new law which permits the Electoral Commission to start sorting pre-poll votes from 4 p.m. on the Saturday.
Mm.
So the Electoral Commission hopes by getting staff in early, they'll be able to train them on what they're going to do better. Then from between 4 and 6, they're going to, basically when you open a ballot box, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ballot papers all folded up and you have to unfold them before you can do any counting or sorting.
Mm.
So the Commission is hoping they'll be able to rigorously do that and then at 6 o'clock get straight into counting. Previously, they were spending 2 or 3 hours after the close of polls just sorting ballot papers before they started counting. So hopefully they can get the count of the pre-polls quicker. And because pre-polls have behaved slightly differently to on-the-day voting in recent times, we may get some pre-poll votes earlier in the evening and that'll settle down our estimate of swing. So that's the interesting one to watch. What's different this time is there is a lot more seats where they're not doing the traditional two-party preferred preference count. There's more independents, there's more Greens who are competitive in seats.
Okay, well, the whole country really does look to you to call the election result. Remind me, what's the earliest you've ever done that?
Federally, look, I mean, we called the 2013 election very quickly. It was very obvious that the Labor Party had lost by 7 o'clock. And I can't remember what time we called it, but it was very clear very early on that Labor had lost in 2013. I think we've got a bit more systematic about how to call an election with experience. Our computer systems have got better and it sort of makes it easier. But, I mean, if you've got a close result, you just have to wait. So we'll see what happens. But I'd be hoping we'd get a good early trend on the state swings. And then from then you can start to make some presumptions about how individual seats will go.
So can you give us a sense of the time you think it might happen? I mean, we've seen the polling. It's, been pretty consistent, although tightening now. Does that tell us anything about what we might see?
If the polls that have said Labor was going to get 53% are correct, then it'll show up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If it's only 51%, it'll be less clear. Because, look, basically,
the swings in individual seats cluster around the state swings. When you've got a clear swing, say 3 or 4% in one way, then all the swings are either side of the 4%, so you can see that things are happening. A close result is always harder to pick for two reasons. One, because you don't see any clear swing in your displays on your computer. And secondly, because it's close, you just haven't got a clear winner by 7:30. I always say mm-hmm. you can by 7:30, you know whether one side or other is going to win, or you know you're going to have to wait longer.
Anthony Green is the ABC's election analyst. You can catch him on ABC TV on election night, and you can also tune in to ABC Radio for extensive coverage. This episode was produced and mixed by Chris Dengate. Additional production by Sydney Peed and Flint Duxfield. Our supervising producer is Stephen Smiley. Over the weekend, catch This Week with Linda Mottram, where she'll look back at the campaign and how this election may change politics in Australia. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.